So let's talk about your team. Talk about the goals for the season and the philosophy of play for the Mercury.
Goals are always to win the championship, always. And I mean, that's my background. I mean, I've never gone into a situation thinking that I was going to lose, no matter what the competition was. And you know, we're really excited about this year. We think we've put a pretty good team together. My first year here, we won the championship. We had a lot of the same players. Paul Westhead left, and Corey Gaines stepped in as a head coach. Everybody moved over, but it was a different position. We had a lot of players leave, so there were a lot of changes last year. Even in those changes, I will say that this year, I mean, in talking to Corey and the players, I mean, we're just excited to get on the court. Everybody's gotten better. Every team has gotten better. But, I mean, I have so much faith in Corey as a head coach, and now that he's got a year under his belt and sees a lot of things that, you know, if he had a year, 2 to 3 years coaching-wise, maybe some of the things, you know, we missed, what, 10 games? We had 5 points or less we lost. You know, so, I mean, and we missed the playoffs by one. We had the Olympics. We had 2 players in the Olympics. We had 6 new players come onto the team, 4 rookies. So there were a lot of changes last year, and that's not an excuse. Penny Taylor didn't come back. You know, so this year we made some changes. We had to make some tough trades and cut some people and so forth. But I think it's for the betterment of the team with a couple of new players that we've got coming in, 2, 3 new players, and the rookie we have, Dwanna Bonner, was a player that Corey Gaines has been looking at. So I think he's excited to get everybody on the court, and certainly talent doesn't win all the time. We're looking at the chemistry, and we know that that's the most important thing. Certainly with Diana and Cappy and Tangela and Kelly Mazzanti coming back from the championship team, that those 4 are core players. Nicole Willingham, who was on the team last year, is huge because they've, you know, an opportunity to understand the style of play. We led the league in scoring the last 2 years. Last 3 years, Diana's led the league the last 2 years in scoring. Cappy was number 2. So we put a lot of points on the board. It's tough sometimes for me coming from UCLA. I like defense, but
Well, I was going to ask about that next. Great offensive team. They struggled last year defensively. So what are the improvements? Is it philosophy? Is it
Well, as much as you say as we struggle defensively, I think, again, a lot of it had to do with our new players. And certainly the trust factor of somebody moving over 1 seat, people don't realize how difficult that is. No matter how long you've been in the game, when you're the head guy now, the head person, things change. They
So you're
do.
talking about from a coaching
Yeah,
perspective.
and even the relationship with your players. I mean, Corey's got a fantastic relationship with the players, and they trust him. But even in saying that, they had to learn how to accept him as a head coach rather than the assistant that he had been for the 3 years prior. So, you know, that's a big change. But, you know, defensively, I think a lot of our defense was attributed to the new players not understanding rotation and so forth, and then our veteran players learning to trust the new players and so forth. So, you know, there were some things that didn't come together as quickly as we had hoped. And certainly, again, with Cappy and Diana going off to the Olympics, and they were gone for 4 weeks at least. And even though we were still here training, then you've got to readjust to them coming back into the lineup. And not to say that other teams didn't have that also. LA with Lisa Leslie and Candace Parker, and Houston with Tina Thompson and Katie Smith and Tamika Johnson. So, but, you know, 2 top players that, you know, really made a difference. So, you know, there was a lot of shuffling going around. And to say that we missed the playoffs by 1 last year, and as I said, we had at least 10 games that we lost by 5 or less. You know, what would have turned those things around? Better defense, better shot selection, better rebounding. We were a better rebounding team than we won in the championship year. And we scored more points last year. We had 2, you know, Diana was scoring, but Cappy was scoring too. But so I'm not as concerned defensively this year. I think, again, the players that we have coming back and the trust that they have in Corey and his coaching staff, you know, I'm real confident. I'm real excited.
What kind of defensive system will the team play? A lot of zone switching, player on player. What's the philosophy?
He runs a lot of zone, and a lot of that comes from Paul Westhead and also from Don. I cannot think of his last name. He was a coach for the Clippers and the NBA. It'll come to me.
And not
serious. No. But you know, a lot of it's from Paul Westhead and what Corey's comfortable with. And I think that any coach has to go with what they're comfortable with. Certainly, I think our 2-3 zone, or it's a 1-2-2 actually, kind of a 1-2-2 or 3-2. You know, there's a confidence. And when you run something and you're confident in it, it's like when Vegas ran the Amoeba, you know. They knew where they needed to be on the court, and that's the biggest thing is our players need to understand where they need to be on switching down out of the zone, and then also the trust factor. And so there's more familiarity with that. Corey knows players better, and that's a plus. We have the versatility to switch players in different positions on the defensive end. And not to say that we don't play player to player. We do. And but the majority of our defense is on the zone. And, you know, we've been successful with it. We have.
Zones typically lead towards more outside shooting, but also can be attacked on the offensive glass and have some other holes. So is it a matter of, like you were saying, the comfort that the coaching staff has with that system, or is it to account for the players that you have on the team?
I don't think it's to account for the players. I think this is a system that they play. And certainly I don't think a zone is always, and again, growing up in UCLA, everything was player to player with Coach Wooden. But in the zone, it's not necessarily offensive rebounding. When people know how to get in a position to rebound and they go for the board, you're going to get the boards. As I said, we were a better rebounding team last year. And that's with playing the zone and in a zone that we weren't as comfortable in as we were the year before because of that trust factor and certain players not understanding on where they needed to be. So, you know, as far as rebounding is concerned and blocking out and forcing teams to the outside, personally, I like the zone in the women's game. One, we don't take up as much court as the guys do. You know, guys play zone in the NBA, even though, you know, they've got the 3-second rule and so forth. A lot of them still play it. But I think in the women's game, it's a benefit that it helps with, if you got a team that's hot and shooting three-pointers, great, more power to you. But it just changes things up, and I think it evens things out for some teams having the ability to play the zone. So I hope that they don't take the zone out of the women's game on the pro level. I know that there's been talk about it in the past, and that's more or less from the NBA guys. But I think having the ability to play the zone, and not just because of us, if any other team wanted to set it up into a zone at different stages to change things up and change the speed of the game and so forth, you know, I think that we should have the ability to do that.
Well, offensively, the team puts up a lot of points. What's the offensive system like? A lot of fast break scoring?
Yeah, the mindset is take as many shots as you can. And we led the league in shots taken. The more shots we put up, the more opportunity we have to score. And because you have that mindset with our training camp, and again, because we had so many new players, they didn't understand the system on the offensive side. And certainly players can play that for about 5-8 minutes. What we have 10-minute quarters, so they can play it for like maybe a 4-minute spurt or whatever. We play 40-minute spurts of the mindset of scoring, of attacking, of pushing the ball. And players say they want to play that, but when you don't do it for 40 minutes or for your two-hour practices, it's tough to buy in. So there was a game when we won the championship. Coach West had, we were down by 20. Team went on like a 12, 14-0 run on us or something. And they call a timeout, and Paul says, "That's okay, we got them where we want them. Got them where we want them." So the confidence of knowing what you're doing is working, because as much as teams are going to go on a 12-0 run or a 12-2 run, they can't sustain it. So we want them to push the ball. They score, you know, 3-4 buckets in a row on us. That's okay, because they've pushed the ball, but they're not used to doing it on that level for that long. And so when, you know, they may do that in the middle of the game, and certainly our game is all about runs. And so if they get a run, like, you know, 12 minutes left to go in the game, per se, or it's 8 minutes in the fourth quarter, they can do that for the first 2 minutes, whatever. But I will tell you, the rest of the game, the other team breaks down because their centers aren't used to running that fast up and down. As soon as the ball goes through the basket, a team scores on us, it's about getting the ball and pushing it.
So Suns fans will be familiar with that from the last couple of years.
Right, right. And it is. It's a fun game to play. And certainly it's frustrating at times because you do see the runs that other teams go on. And we lost some games. We got blown out last year. But that's what's so interesting, I think. And I admire the players because, you know, if you lose a game, it's done. It's over. You can't worry about it. You got to get ready for the next game. And that's tough sometimes because in college, you know, you play your two games and I'm going to get them back and you've got a rematch and, you know, you're playing in the Pac-10 and Arizona State gets beat by Arizona and they play UCLA, SC beat them and they get beat by Washington State and it's like they know they're going to come back around and play them. But, you know, they're, in college it's a little bit easier to get up for a team that you've got a revenge factor. On the flip side, I mean, you could play a back-to-back against somebody. Whether it's, you know, like you've got a game against Sacramento on Friday night, you turn around and you fly back home and you're playing them again. Or you're playing somebody else. So you can't worry about, you know, whether you won or lost that game. I mean, you got to move on to the next game.
You talked about the players adjusting that up-tempo style. Is it more the mentality of having the confidence of taking that open shot early in the clock? Or is it just the physical nature, the speed, and just getting... You know, building up that kind of
it's not so much taking the shot, it's the mental approach to sustain that, to continue to push it. Because most kids will, you know, coaches control their offenses and they don't want to push it. And even if they do, then it's like, okay, let's set up in the half court and use the clock. They want to use the clock. Well, we're all about, you know, getting a shot off within a certain amount of seconds if we can. And physically, it's you got to get in shape. Your legs have to be in shape. You've got to have good wind and get your lungs going and be able to sustain that. So it's a combination of both. But every player has a green light. Corey Gaines does not tell anybody not to shoot. And certainly you want a good shot, but it's like in any offense. When you work so hard and you get a good shot and you pass it up, it's like, you know, that hurts the team. So we're all about everybody having the green light. Corey Gaines has really instilled that, and I think that helps a lot of the players play in a positive and being happy with their game, too.
So, last question. Talk about your roster, the strengths of your roster coming back this season, and maybe some holes you're still trying to look to fill before the season starts, or where are you with that?
Yeah, we're pretty solid with our roster. We can only bring in 15 to training camp this year, and only 11 roster spots. So we've had to cut down. A lot of teams carried 13. We carried 13 last year. So
that's a change.
It is a change. But again, I will say that the NBA at times, you know, you can only have 10 on a roster, 11 on a roster. So, you know, you make it work. And it's, like I said, it's tough to waive kids or cut kids, but it's got to be done. We made some hard trades where we had to trade Kelly Miller and LaToya Pringle to Minnesota for Nicole Oldie. People kept saying we had to shore up our center spot, but even in saying that, you know, I mean, we had Barb Ferris last year, and we brought in LaCole Willingham with Tangela Smith, and then we had a rookie, Brooke Smith, come in. So, you know, it wasn't as dynamic as the year before as we had. Again, Penny Taylor filled a lot of holes for us because Penny has the ability to play so many positions and being on the Australian national team and she's a veteran, been around. She can just do so many things, so talented. And we missed her last year. And when you have a player like that, it opens up the door for a lot of other players, gives them opportunities because she's so good that teams have to focus on her where she can give up the ball to somebody and you get wide open shots. So we didn't have that last year. This year we think we've got it. Kelly Mazzani's come back you know, a lot stronger. You know, just her experience being in her third year with us is going to be a plus. Tangela Smith won a championship over in China. just the attitude. Again, the mentality of all the players, Seth, talking to them, coming back, they can't wait to get back, because even though we didn't make the playoffs last year, I think that's burning inside them. You know, you become a champion, and then you don't even make the playoffs. So this is a team that we have players from that championship team that want to get back, and they're not happy with the results from last year. So that's going to drive them more. Diana Trossi, she just gets better and better. I mean, certainly with her veteran leadership, and you know, she's such a big time player.
Is she really the leader of this team?
Well, it's kind of a combination. I mean, even Tangela. I mean, they're leaders in their own different ways, and we're bringing in a point guard with Tamika Johnson that has a lot of leadership skills as far as the point guard situation. So we think we've got a lot of strong personalities that have been able to blend together, and you know, again, they really respond to what Corey Gaines wants, and I think that's a plus. I think the chemistry on this team is going to be even better, and that's going to be a key. We've shored up the middle spot. We've got Tangela Smith back. We brought in Nicole Olding. We know that, looking at the list right now, Nicole Willingham has been, you know, she really blossomed last year from being a bench player in Connecticut to being a pretty full-time player for us, and really got a lot of confidence, and really by the time after the Olympics, understood what all that running was all about. You know, she got it. But it took, you know, 2 to 3 months almost before that clicked in. We've got Allison Bales and Brooke Smith vying for that other center spot. We feel good about the guards with Tamika Johnson coming in, and our rookie Shea Brooks that we drafted along with Shin, Yuko Oga, who's from Japan. And, you know, she's got a year under her belt. We don't know who 10, 11 are going to be. We absolutely don't.
So you've got some open slots to see how
we do. Yeah. And then, you know, Dewana Bonner, she's 6'4". Again, a player that gives us versatility, can play the 4, can play the 3, 2. I mean, at 6'4", can handle the ball and bring it up, which is an advantage that we struggled with that position last year, losing Penny Taylor. And certainly with LaCole Willingham and with Toya Pringle being a rookie, and, you know, that was a spot for us that was not as strong. And, you know, so, I mean, you can always get better, but I will tell you, I'm pretty happy about this team. Yeah, we've been working on that.
You're talking to her?
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking to her agent, and she has said that she won't make a decision until after the Russian League. And
when's that?
Next week, the end of next week.
Towards the end of April.
Yeah, end of next week. But, you know, she wants to go home to Australia and, you know, kind of, I think, get away from everything and be with family and, you know, be in a better frame of mind to make a decision. So,
do you think that if Lauren comes, is that a difference maker on the team?
If you look at the lineup. Look at our lineup over there. We have the top two scorers in the league. And that's the interesting thing. A lot of people feel, too, a lot of players are intimidated to come here because they don't think that they'll get the ball with Diana and Kathy. And I thought, okay, we take, what, almost 90 shots a game, right? Okay, so let's say they don't even average 20 shots. Neither one of them averaged 20 shots. They average, what, 12 to 15? Maybe on a given night they might get 20 to 25 shots. Maybe. And so let's say they each took 20 shots. That's 40 shots. You have 50 shots sitting out there. That's a lot of shots. So there's a lot of room to go around to score on this team. And, you know, I mean, we'd like to think that we've got a great chance. Obviously, if Lauren comes, it puts us over the top. But, you know, I've got a plan for Lauren not to be here. And that's why I put this team together. You know, these are the players that Corey Gaines wanted. And, you know, as I said, we're going to have to make some choices. But, you know, Seattle is a team that she's familiar with. And she likes Brian Agler. And, you know, she and Sue Bird have been together since she's been there. So, you know, it's a 50-50 chance. We don't know which way it's going to go. But either way, we've got to be prepared. And yeah, absolutely. We've been working on it since day one.
Okay.
So it's up to Lauren.
Well, again, I appreciate your time. It's very informative.
Well, thank you. Honestly, like I said, I just, you know, Coach Wooden told me one time when he first came to UCLA, and I think I told the story before, but know, the chancellor had asked him to go listen to a professor speak on some subject, and he said, well, why should I have to do that? I have no interest. I have no idea what he's talking about. And he said, we just want all the teachers here to be able to know who's who. So Coach Wooden goes to this forum, and the guy's teaching a class, and Coach Wooden said he sat there mesmerized because he was so passionate about what he was teaching, even though Coach Wooden didn't have any idea about it. But he was so excited afterwards because of the passion that this guy had for the subject that he was teaching. So Coach Wooden went to the library and read more on it, and just so he could familiarize himself more of the subject and why this guy had such a passion for it. And he said, and that's what you can appreciate. I mean, what I say about the WNBA, the passion, not only that the fans have for their teams, but the players in playing the game. And not to say that the NBA doesn't, I'm not saying anything about the NBA, I just think that our players have as much passion for the game, and it is a shorter season, so in a 34-game schedule, every game counts. Every game counts. 82-game schedule, sometimes they can, you know, take a game off or so, and I don't mean that in a negative way, I just think that you'll find, watching them play, that you get caught up and appreciate the passion that they have for their work, just like you have for your work. I mean, you want to do the best you can, and you hope people that appreciate how much you love what you do. And when you can do something that you love, it's not work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've taken both my son and daughter to Mercury Games before, but I admit I've not put the time into it really. And I think, at least for me, as a fan, I have to watch a lot. I can't just watch a team every now and then.
Yeah, and especially if you don't know who they are, too. So, and certainly, our fans, boy, they know who all the players are throughout this league. And you know what? I admire those fans. That, you know, it's like, again, being in Cleveland now. I mean, Cleveland, what, 6 years ago, didn't have that kind of attendance, did they?
Sure.
But, boy, it is so much fun to go to a Cleveland Cavalier game and the excitement that they bring to the court. They're just like a bunch of kids. And yet they're focused on their work, but they are like a bunch of kids on the sideline, you know, just jabbing each other and doing their dances and stuff. And that's how our team was when we won the championship. Mm-hmm. And again, it doesn't matter what gender you are, what age you are, what level of play. You can appreciate and be happy for any team that if they've got that kind of joy and to be able to win, you know, because you know the kind of work that's gone into it. So.
You know, what a message to our readers, the folks that are fans of the Suns, and really kind of hardcore fans of the Suns, and basketball fans, but maybe haven't given the WNBA a chance. Is that the message, just, you know, give it a go and you'll...
I think it's growing. It's hard because, you know, I'm a fan, too, of the game, and I've been on both sides as a player and played in the WBL when we had the league, and certainly now on this side of the business side. And we are, slowly and surely, we're getting some Suns fans to come and watch, and we had a lot of disappointed fans in us last season because we didn't make the playoffs.
Sure.
Certainly you had a lot of Suns fans disappointed because we didn't make the playoffs this year with our guys, and I'm like going, come watch us this summer, get excited, because I think that's the same kind of excitement that you're going to see for the Suns next year. You know, with Alvin, hopefully Alvin's, you know, I don't know who's going to be hired or, you know, so I'm not going on record on any of that. But I think the prospect of where the Suns are going to be next season, Amari's going to be back healthy. Leandro's going to be back 100%. You know, like I said, I think Steve's one of the best guards in the NBA still. And Shaq, I mean, the kind of year he had was incredible. Grant Hill played all 82 games. You know, I think it's exciting to look forward to getting better and being better from what we were and to get back to where we were before, you know, for the Suns. So my attitude for the Suns fans is come watch us, because I think the excitement that we show for not only our team but also to get everybody ready for the next year's Suns season.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for.
Well, I can tell you're excited.
I am. I'm excited. I'm excited for the Suns. I really am. And, you know, so many of us were, it was tough. It was a tough season in a lot of different ways. And but because of that, like I said, with us not making the playoffs, I just, you know, you're upset. I mean, players feel it. Management feels it. The fans feel it. And we know that it's only going to get better. And like you said, what are the different ways we plugged in getting better, you know, did we need to get better and so forth. And certainly with the Mercury, we think that we did get better with a lot of the different positions and with the personnel that we're bringing in. So, you know, we think the Suns have great chemistry, and it's only going to get better next year. But this year, I will honestly say that, you know, talking to all the players, I mean, Kelly Mazzanti just got back today, back in Pennsylvania, from Hungary. And she's like, I can't wait to get to Phoenix. I'm coming next week. And, you know, some players are coming in 3 weeks early so they can start working out and just being with each other and start forming those relationships again and working out with the coaches. And
was Tangela here?
Tangela's here. Tangela's been working out every day.
She's here.
Yeah.
She's
been working out every day.
Knee's good.
Uh-huh. She's running. There's no, you know, gait. Her gait's pretty smooth. There's no hitch in the gait, I guess. Her shot looks good. But it's just the mental approach, Seth. It's just they just can't wait to get here.
Yeah.
And we're going to the PWSA dinner on Friday. So Tangela's going to that. And, you know, just getting out in the community, having our players seen. We know that that's important. And just that marketing aspect that the community sees who they are and where they are. And, you know, I think that that's a tough part in the league, even more so here in Phoenix because of the weather during the summer that a lot of people do leave. And school's out. In the early days of the WNBA, a lot of players stayed here year-round. So they were constantly out in the market. They were out doing camps and clinics, and you know, which we will do. We have those set up. But when they're in school, it's a little bit easier to control and get out there. You know, so now with all players going overseas, it makes it a little bit more difficult, a little bit more challenging.
Sure. Well, like you said, I mean, Mercury's been here for a while now, and the attendance is good. And I know a lot of people that are season ticket holders and really excited about the team. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Good. I can't wait for you to come out.
Yeah.
So our first preseason game is against Seattle, so we'll see what jersey Lauren's in, huh?
Yeah. If she's decided.
If she even comes back. Yeah, that's right, if she's decided yet. You know. How old are your kids?